All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're turning to the book of Mark, chapter number 11. The book of Mark, chapter number 11. And we are looking tonight in verse number 27. Mark 11, verse number 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. That's Mark chapter 11, verses 27 through 33, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought tonight. We'll pray. By what authority? Question mark. They were challenging the authority of Jesus Christ. And may I say that in the society, the day and age in which we now live, we challenge authority on a daily basis. It is constant. And I'm just going to tell you something. It is a dangerous thing to challenge the authority of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for allowing us to read a portion of your word. And Father, that you've given us just a little bit of understanding. And I pray, God, that you'd help us by your spirit, Father, to be further enlightened. And help us, God, that we might share the word tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us not to be questioning or challenging the authority of God in our lives. God, forgive us as a nation. Both I and my father's house, we have sinned against you. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch us and help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Number one tonight, I want us to see the confrontation. Verse 27 says, it begins, and they come to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples are come again to Jerusalem. What's been happening? Well, on Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of Jesus, as he rode through the eastern gate on the back of that little donkey. And the people waved palm branches and spread their clothes in the way and said, Hosanna, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And as Jesus rode through the middle of Jerusalem, he went then into the temple. And the Bible says he looked in the temple round about. He was looking for people that were praying. He was looking for people that were preaching, people that were praising the Lord, people that were calling and praising God, calling upon his name. But instead, he would have seen them closing up shop. The merchandiser selling the animals and those buying and selling. And he would have saw those money changers. And he saw them. He left disappointed on that Sunday night. And he went back to Bethany. He spent the night there, and on Monday morning he got up and he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree in the distance. And when he approached the fig tree, he was desiring fruit from it. But when he got there, all he saw was a bunch of leaves, no fruit. And he said, let no man eat of thee henceforth forever. Now that fig tree does represent Israel, and he did place a curse upon Israel. He left there from that fig tree and went on into Jerusalem. And when he got there, he began to overthrow the tables of the money changers. He began to cast out those that bought. He cast out those that sold as well as those that were buying. Both sides of that thing were thrown out. Then, once he cleansed the temple, he started teaching the word. And then the blind were healed. Little children started praising the Lord. And that upset the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Jesus, after he taught all day Monday, went back to Bethany. And on Tuesday, he gets up, headed back to Jerusalem again to the temple. And as he does, Simon Peter and the disciples said, "Master, the fig tree that you placed a curse on yesterday, 24 hours later, it's completely dried up by the roots." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God. If you say to this mountain," he's on Mount Olivet, "be thou removed into the sea, and if you believe God, having faith, nothing doubting, this mountain will be cast into the sea." That mountain are things that hinder us, things that block us, things that just stagger our mind. If we have faith in God, he will say to the mountains, amen, be removed out of our life if we have faith in God. But he went on to say, if you forgive one another, then your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive one another, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Very sobering scripture. And then on Tuesday, he continues right here. The Bible says, they come again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. There he is. He's walking around in the temple. And what happens? The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, according to verse 27, they begin to come to him. And in verse 28, look at it. They challenged him. They said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" May I just submit to you, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders are questioning his authority because they believe they're the authority. They had not authorized Jesus to cleanse the temple. It was going just the way they wanted it. They wanted the money changers there. They were getting a cut. They wanted those to be buying and selling there. They were getting a cut. And they want to know who has asked you or told you you could stand here and begin to cleanse the temple. Who told you you could stand here and start teaching the word of God? I mean, who are you after all? You are untrained. You're uneducated. You've not been to any of our seminaries. You've not been educated by us at all. You have no qualifications. You're unapproved. You're untested. Who said you could stand up at the synagogue and teach? You're not like one of us, a chief priest or a scribe or an elder. I'm telling you, they're asking him not out of curiosity. They are asking him about his authority out of a heart filled with rage. These are men like a gang that's trying to protect their turf. Their pocketbooks are being affected. Their witness and their testimony is being affected. And they're going to do everything they can to discredit Jesus and attack his authority and try to tear him down. May I say tonight that you and I must respect the authority of God in our life. He is sovereign. He has all power and he has all authority. What is power? Power is the ability to do something. What is authority? It is the right to exercise that power. I've seen people with power, but they had no authority to do anything. I've seen people with authority, but they had no power to do anything. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the power, and Jesus is the authority, and he cleansed that temple. Not because they said he could, but he cleansed that temple because it's his house. May I say that my own life, my body is the temple where the Holy Ghost resides. And he has every right to begin a work of cleansing in my life. And I'm telling you, we need it each and every day. How many of y'all have found out that Jesus has authority over life and over death? Jesus has authority over storms. He can speak peace and calm any storm. He has authority over everything supernatural. There's not a demon in hell or all the demons in hell that could take him down, amen, and discredit him. He has authority over storms. He has authority over supernatural. He has authority over the sickness that you deal with, that thing that you're praying about in your family. Jesus has authority over it, and he has authority over sin. He said one time, he said, whether it's easy to say to the sick of the palsy, arise and walk, or to forgive his sins. You judge you, amen. He is the one who died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again. He has the authority and the power to forgive sinners. Say amen right there. He has all authority. He said in Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth, all authority, there you go, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who gave him the power? Who gave him the authority? God the Father did, amen. So Jesus' authority is sovereign. Jesus' authority is supreme. Jesus' authority is sovereign. Here we see in verses 27 and 28 a confrontation. As soon as Jesus got into the temple, here they came to confront him and to try to attack him and trying to discredit him. They asked him, look with me, two questions. They said, by what authority doest thou these things? Number two, who gave thee this authority to do these things? Number two, we see the consultation. Verse 29, Jesus answered. They've asked two questions. Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question and answer me. He said, I'm going to answer your two questions with a question of my own. They're asking by what authority and who gave you this authority, seeking to discredit him. So he's going to answer their two questions by asking a question of his own. And he says, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Look what he said. I underlined this in my Bible. This is super important. Jesus said, answer me. You know, the one with the authority is the one that's demanding the answer. Isn't that funny? They thought, who gave you this authority? By what power do you have this authority? And Jesus just looked at them and said, you answer me. I'm not standing before you. You standing before me. Don't you just love Jesus? In fact, he answered their two questions just with one question. And his one question outranked their two questions. Oh, have you ever thought about it? You can't catch Jesus off guard. You'll never put Jesus on the defensive, amen? He always, always knows what's going on because he is the power and he is the authority. Was John's baptism from heaven? Was it of divine origin or was it of men? Well, verse 31, they started reasoning with themselves. Here they start figuring it out. That's if we say that his baptism was from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? What about their intellect? John the Baptist is inseparably connected to Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist said about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So if their reasoning, if we say John's baptism was from heaven, then what we say about John, we have to say about Jesus. And if John said, behold the Lamb of God, why did we not believe him? So we can't say that his baptism was from heaven. Now, I'll be honest with you. Those scribes, chief priests, and Pharisees, they didn't believe his baptism was from heaven either. But they didn't dare speak it because they thought they might get in trouble over saying that about why did you not believe him. Then they go in verse 32 and say, but if we say that his baptism was of men, the people counted John as a prophet, and they were afraid of the people. They said, if we say that his baptism was not of God, it was not of heaven, but we say it was of men, then we're going to get in trouble because the people thinks John is a prophet of God, and they're going to revolt on us. They're going to throw us out of office. We're going to lose our power. We're going to lose our standing. Boy, Jesus knew how to put them in a corner. In fact, here's the whole point. They thought their question, by what authority and who is the authority, that they put Jesus in the corner. Buddy, he put them in a corner pretty quick. Amen. You'll never put Jesus in a corner. Amen. Hallelujah to God. So verse 33, we get the coward's answer, don't we? They said to Jesus, we cannot tell. They wouldn't say the baptism was from heaven. They wouldn't say the baptism was of men. And they figured out if we affirm John's ministry, we're condemning ourselves, so we can't say anything. You know, it's kind of like saying, no comment. But it's really some of these politicians now that no comment. But you really know the truth, amen? And when they said no comment, they're really saying, we just aren't going to say. So look at verse 33. Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, he's not caught off guard. You see, he's in full control. And to be honest with you, he just stated his authority. Because when all these men, these religious, powerful, influential men, begin to try to put Jesus in the corner, he told them, you answer me. And he turned the tables on them. In fact, I have another portion of scripture, a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 21 I want to go to try to get a little bit deeper into this thought. In Matthew 21, I like to compare scripture to scripture. Not a big commentary person, but I like the Bible and just try to compare scripture to scripture. Now we're going to Matthew 21 verse 23. He's got there. We see the chief priests and all scribes and the elders. They come to him. Verse 23, they're asking him by what authority and who gave you this authority. Verse 24, he says, you answer me one thing. Verse 25, the baptism of John, from whence was it? Was it from heaven? Was it from men? And verse 27, they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said to them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 28, but what think ye? Jesus said, what do you think about this? I want to run something by you. And what do you think about this? So number three tonight, consideration. The consideration. He said, I want you to consider something here. I want to see how you think about something. He said, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now, let's just consider a couple things here. First of all, let's consider in this parable the authority of that father. A certain man had two sons. I'm thinking if he's got two sons that he's probably a father, a daddy. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. So the father, he didn't ask the boys to go to the vineyard. Read it again. He told them. A certain man had two sons, and he came the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. You see, the daddy had authority over the boys. And he didn't ask them. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't just a good idea that they could yay or nay. He gave them an authoritative statement. He gave them a command, if you will, go today and work in my vineyard. Say amen if you see that. There's the authority of the Father. The vineyard represents the nation of Israel. Okay? They are the vineyard. He's told this first boy, I want you to go today and work in my vineyard. I want you to work in Israel. I want you to witness. I want you to testify. I want you to share the good things of God with a lost and dying world. That's what the Father has commanded of me and you. Go to the lost and dying and tell them how I saved you. Tell them how good I am, how great I am, how gracious I am. That's your job, the authority of the Father. In verse 29, we see the admission of the son. The first son said, I will not. He was told to go, but he rebelled against authority. Can I just take time out and say that at Balfour Baptist Church, the night I got saved, truthfully, was not the first time the Lord had dealt with me about getting saved. I had been under conviction. I think I was at the East Flat Rock First Baptist Church. Brother Percy had been preaching there. I fell under conviction. And I'm telling you, I was struggling. I was worried to death about it. And God gave me a second chance. He said, I want you to go to the altar. You know what I said? I will not. Anybody else here done that? Preacher, I did the same thing. I didn't go the first time, and I struggled with it, preacher. I white-knuckled on the back of that pew. I held on to it. I didn't want to give in. I was trying to get by. I was ashamed. I was prideful. But praise God, he gave me a second chance. In fact, can I just be honest with y'all? He gave me a third chance. In fact, be honest with you, I know I'm saved right now, but there's a lot of times when the Lord says, I want you to stand up and testify. I want you to go do such and such right now. Lord, I don't want to do that right now. Y'all ever have that trouble? Amen. My spirit knows to serve the Lord, but my flesh says, I will not. You ever been here when the preacher's preaching or the choir's singing and the Lord said, I want you to go to the altar and bow down and confess something or pray about something. I want you to give me thanks for something. And you're like, I will not. Just some things to consider. The Father, his authority in your life to tell you to do something. You need to do what he says. So at first, this son, he rebelled. He said, I will not. But the sentence doesn't stop there. There's a colon, and then the word but. It is as if but God has been working in his life. But afterward, he repented. What about that? He started thinking about it. I believe he got convicted about it. I think the Spirit was convicting him. Your daddy loves you. Your daddy's been good to you. Well, I mean, he's told you to go work. It's time to get up and go. And after he said, I will not, he's considered that thing. He's fell under conviction. And the Bible says he repented and then he went. Woo-wee. Praise God right now. You might have not went the first time. You might not have done it the first time. But praise God, he came and gave me a second chance. I don't feel like running. Praise God, he gave me a third chance. And he kept convicting and working in my life. And I knew there was a deadline. I knew I could go too far. He really could only came to me one time and still been God. But he was merciful and he was gracious. And when I went, I said, oh God, not only do I need to repent, but I also need to repent of telling you no. I'm a hard-hearted and rebellious, oh God, forgive me. And guess what? My Father is so gracious that even when I rebelled on him, when I confessed it, and when I acknowledged that I got right with God, hey, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, all our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins to him and when we repent, amen. Hallelujah to God, amen. So there's the admission of the Son. He admitted, oh, I've done wrong. And he repented, praise God. And he responded to the authoritative command of his Father. Oh, I'm just thinking. I'm going to idle here for a minute. Not only did I lay that thing about getting saved, but when he started calling me to preach, I was like, I will not. My daddy's a preacher. I don't want everybody to think I'm trying to copycat my daddy. Second of all, I see how my daddy gets treated. I don't like it when he gets treated like a servant the way he gets treated. I don't want to be done like that, Lord. And God said, you're going to preach because I told you to preach. This is not an option. Here's your option. Preach and live or die. You think I'm kidding? I ain't kidding. God showed me the place. He was going to cut my limbs, my arm off, my leg off, and I was going to go preach anyhow. Anyway, let me tell y'all something, Brother Bobby. I woke up last night. I was preaching when I woke up in the night last night. What a camp meeting service. We had a camp meeting last night in a dream, and God was just filling that place, amen. And I woke up excited this morning, and I was so disappointed it was a dream. Say, preacher, you even dream you're going to church? Yes, I was dreaming I went to church, amen. And I thank God for it. I didn't have an option about this preaching thing. It's not something I decided I'm going to go do. God said you're going to do it. The same thing about becoming a pastor. The same thing about preaching this message tonight. I could have called somebody and said, hey, would you fill in for me tonight? I'm kind of tired. I'd like to stay home. I'll watch it online. And God said, oh, no, bless God. You get up and you get up that mountain and you go pick up that chicken and you take it to them youngins and you get in that pulpit and you tell them about my authority in your life. It'll help somebody. You just tell them. I'm a gracious God and I'm a good God. And we don't always say yes every time he speaks to us. But I'm telling you, when you don't, he'll keep working. He'll keep convicting. He'll make you wish you did. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. He gave. Listen, I know I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I know that. But thank God I'm better than I used to be. I want us to see not only the admission of the son, but I want to look at verse 30 and see the actions of the second son. He came to that second son, he said likewise. He said the same thing, son, go work today in my vineyard. And the second son, he said, I go, sir. You see that? He said, I'm willing. He spoke respectfully. He said, I go, sir. And went not. He said he was going to go, but he never obeyed the father. This second son was not obedient. I mean, his words sounded good. His words sounded right, but he never put works with his words. There's a lot of times in our lives that our lives don't match up with our lips. Amen. Oh, yes, sir, Lord, I'll do it, absolutely. You want me to give it, I'll give it. You want me to call them, I'll call them. You want me to go to that altar, I'll go to them. You want me to go see them, I'll go. And you still ain't been. You still ain't done what God said do. Whew. Now, he says in verse, listen, not repenting. They never repented of it. They were just a stranger to grace. They would not change. Look what Jesus said in verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Let me just take time out and just remind you. They started this conversation. They said, by what authority and who gave you this authority? Jesus said, I have a question for you. The baptism of John, is it from heaven? Is it of men? You answer that and I'll answer your question. They said, well, we can't tell. Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what thank ye? A certain man had two sons. He said, go today and work in my vineyard. The first son said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. And the second son, he said, likewise. And he said, I go, sir. And he went not. Jesus said, which one of these two boys did the will of his father? They said unto him, hello, the first. That's, y'all see that? Nod your head with me if you see the first one did the will of the father. Do you see that? I got two amens. You see that? Fourth point, and I'm done. There's a connotation. Connotation, that means the implication. What is the meaning? Look with me in verse 31. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. What? Yeah. John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you, chief priests, scribes, elders, religious leaders, you believed him not. But the publicans, that's tax collectors, ripping people off, and the harlots, people that's selling their body, believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. What about that? John came preaching and said, this sinful lifestyle you're living is not of God. And at first the publicans and the harlots said, oh, that's an offense. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen to that. But afterward the Holy Ghost started convicting them of their sins. And they came and got right with God, confessed their sins, and got baptized. Amen. And when the religious leaders saw it, when they saw the positive changes in a harlot's life, the positive changes
in the tax collector, the publican's life, the positive changes in the sinner's life. You know what? When you get saved, Jesus will change you. And when the religious leaders saw the change in the people, the Lord started convicting them and said, it's more than your boneheaded religion. It's more than your just going through the ceremonies and the feasts and keeping these religious holidays. It's more than that. It's about serving God from the heart and believing in Jesus Christ. And they said, we will not believe that. We're going to remain religious. We're going to continue to serve in Israel. But they would not do the will of the Father. Here's the connotation. God the Father has all authority. Jesus has just coerced these religious leaders to answer Jesus' question. They refused to answer about John's baptism being from heaven or being of men, but their answer concerning which of these two sons did the will of the Father was convicting. That was their answer. Sinners were repenting and they would not. Here's what he's saying. You boys, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites is what you are. You rejected John and you're rejecting me. Ultimately, you're rejecting my authority. The Father has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And they said, oh, we will. But they will not because they want to play religious games with people. You hear me real quick tonight and I'll be done. Without repentance, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is so sad. There's so many people who says, oh, I'll go, but they never follow up. They sit on a church pew and they never move. I'm trying to think. It was umpire, baseball umpire. Bill Crumley or something like that, retired. And one time, there was a man on third base. And the batter lined the ball to left field. And the left fielder caught it. And the runner, it's two outs. And the runner on third base tagged up, waiting for the guy to make the catch in left field and said, I can beat the throw home. He took off running with what would be the tying run to send it into extra innings. And as he took off running, that throw was extremely strong. And both of them, the catcher catching the ball and the runner sliding in and the tag is made and there's a cloud of dust. And one team comes out running, woo, he's safe. The other team comes out running, woo, he's out and we've won. Bill Crumley said, nobody's anything till I say so. You know who the authority is in your life? It's Jesus. You tell me to your blue in the face, I'm saved. You ain't nothing till Jesus says so. You can play all the games you want to play. You can look dignified and you can talk religious. You can be baptized so many times the tadpoles knows your first name. But if you've never repented and called on Jesus Christ, honey, you're not getting in. You hear me? The authority of Jesus. I tell you what authority. God gave Jesus the authority. Man, I got a verse. Thank you, Lord. The book of John chapter 5. I'm done. I just got to read this verse. Help me, Jesus. This will tear somebody limb from limb. Probably somebody watching online. I hope you're listening. John 5, 22. Y'all turn there with me. Just humor me. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now who's the Son? Thank you. It's Jesus. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Father, excuse me, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. I hear all the time, oh, I believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in God. You hear me? You ain't nothing till Jesus says you are. And if you don't believe in Jesus, honey, That's all we needed to know about you. God the Father says, if you don't honor my son, you're not honoring me. Well, that's because I'm serving a different God than you are. That's exactly right. And the God I serve is the God of all glory and is the God that's going to allow people to enter into heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And there ain't no two ways about it, amen? Verily, verily, I say unto you, who said it? Jesus, who's got power, who's got authority. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Ooh. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I felt stirring. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him, that's a big, what does that say? That's a big word, authority. And hath given him authority, hallelujah, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Woo, he has such power. He has so much authority. When he speaks, those that believe upon his name shall live. Man, it's running all through me. Woo. And shall come. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that are in the grave, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Woo! And they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Preacher, what? Now what? Oh, there's coming a day for those that believed in Jesus, there'll be a resurrection of those of life. But for those that are wicked dead, they will be raised later on from the grave. Their soul, their corrupt, wicked, rotten soul, reunite with their wicked, corrupt body, how vile it is, and they will stand before Jesus, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. He has the power and the authority to do so. And he will even have the devil himself escorted in, and he will say, bow. And the devil will bow his knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. They'll be burning with brimstone forever and ever and ever. And Jesus has the power and the authority to do it. Amen. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior who has all power and all authority. And thank God my sin has been placed under his blood, washed away. He had power to change my life and give me life eternal. Ha, preacher, how do you know? Because he said so. Hey, that's good enough, amen. You stand to your feet tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word of God and for the authority that you gave your son, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, not to be a bunch of weakling Christians bowing down to every pressure that's around us. Help us to know the authority and the power of God that's in our life that has saved us and changed us. And help us, God, to make a good representation. In Jesus' name, we ask your help. Amen and amen.